Okay. I'm hoping that I did set this up so other people could come. So I'm hoping.
Right. So let's wait and see, because I'd love to hear about other people's things too.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we are officially recording because.
Okay. Because
we should be started. My time.
All right. Just 8 o'clock.
Oops. Sorry, I'm just making sure this, let's see. Usually it has a timing thing here. In process.
I clicked on the web access and it was playing the old one.
It's there now. And there is apparently somebody listening in via the web.
I clicked on that one and then maybe somebody else is on there.
Yeah, we'll see. If you're listening via the web, you obviously can't ask a question live, but you can type in a question and I will see it. So if there is somebody listening in via the web, if you could let me know by just typing in and saying, "Hi, John, this is whoever." And I meant to send out another reminder today, but I didn't get to it. There's always so many things to do.
Oh, I know.
I don't always remember everything. Gosh, I hope some other, because there was this one lady that I actually set this for, and she said she'd be able to make it, so.
Oh. Well, maybe she'll come on.
And maybe I messed it up by thinking the time was different.
Huh.
Boy.
I have here on Tuesday, November 11th at 8 o'clock, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific.
Yeah, I know, but she may have said she was available at 6 p.m. Pacific. So
Oh. She
might come on in an hour.
Oh, no.
And I'm not sure why, I know there were some others that were interested, so I'm not sure why they didn't make it. Some people, it might be Veterans Day, and it's just a thing that they can't do. So why don't you ask your question?
Oh, I just, I was actually hoping to listen to some other people, but I do have a new book that's going to be out in 2010 from Houghton Mifflin. It's fiction. It's called Mrs. Noah, and it's going to be probably controversial, I would think. It's about a fundamentalist child who's become infatuated with earth science, and she's digging up trilobites and other fossils, and playing Mrs. Noah in her church puppet play. So I have, and driving everyone crazy asking questions. So I don't know. I did get, everybody says it's a good idea to have a special website, for a new book. So I got Mrs. Noah, thenovel.com. Mrs. Noah was already taken, or some strange thing. I forget what it was, a car wash or something. So I lost out there, but Mrs. Noah, the novel, which I think is good.
It's acceptable.
That'll do. Yeah, it's actually.
They do that for some movies where they'll say blah 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 the movie.
Oh yeah, Hair the musical or something like that. So Mrs. Noah the novel, that's respectable, and so I do have it. I haven't done anything with it.
Well, I'm not sure it's respectable.
Well, oh come on, yeah. So
it sounds kind of scandalous to me.
Yeah, good. I don't mind that either. I have time now. I mean, it'll be out in the spring, and I don't know. I've been listening to your seminars, so I know.
who's publishing?
Pretty much what I should do with the website, create links and so on. And
yeah. Who's publishing it?
Oh, Houghton Mifflin.
Okay. And, and it's a young adult?
It's, it'll probably be 8 and up.
Okay.
People always ask me who I write for. I write for myself. I write for kids, but adults usually like my books too. This one's going to be serious, but funny at the same time. And
okay.
Yeah.
So Lynn is on the line. She's listening via the web.
Great.
And so what I'd like to do then is why don't we start? Do you have a specific question on what you're doing? And then I'll get into some things on you know, creating relationships.
I'm interested in that, and I don't really have anything because I just found out recently, and I have the website, and no, I don't really have any good questions tonight about this, other than, I want good ideas on promotion.
Okay.
And, yeah.
So what I'd like to do today is talk a little bit about how to build real relationships with key websites. And a lot of what I'm talking about in terms of creating real relationships with websites would also apply, beyond, in the regular world, offline as well as online.
Okay.
And as I said before, and I've said many times in my speaking and so on, that all of marketing really boils down to one thing, and that's creating relationships. And that means ultimately making friends.
Mm-hmm.
And it's real essential for online marketing. When I start teaching my 10 Million Eyeballs course in the next week, I'm going to start off basically telling people how to create relationships with real relationships with key websites.
Yeah.
Because that's the fundamental, that is the basis of everything else that you do online.
Hmm.
Any other thing that you would do online, if you're not creating relationships, you're basically, shouting, you could say, into the wind. Nobody's hearing you.
Mm-hmm.
Or you're in the middle of Nevada, something like that. And so even though you might do great things, you might create a great video, you might create some wonderful articles, you might create a great website, if you're in the middle of Nevada, nobody cares.
Yeah.
Nobody knows. You won't be found. And the way that you're found, one of the key ways, is by the relationships that you create with websites that people would normally want to visit on their own.
Yeah.
In other words, if your target audience, like your target audience for your novel would probably be young adult readers.
Right.
Kids that like to read and like good stories.
Right.
So you would want to start by identifying where do these kids go to find out about interesting books.
Mm-hmm.
Now, chances are that they have some social networks that's a part of how they find out.
Yeah.
And, I don't know what they are because I don't have kids that age.
Mm-hmm.
If I did, I would know because
mm-hmm.
I would want to know what they're doing online. I'd want to
participate
with them.
Yeah.
Not just watching them and things like that, but I would want to know what they're doing online.
Right.
So, online you can search and you can say go into Google
mm-hmm.
and type in something like young adult novels. Let's just start with that as a theory,
Okay.
So I'm going to type it in as we're doing this, and just see what we come up with. Well, the ALA has a website where they have a list of the best books for young adults.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. Right.
Now, that's the American Library Association.
Yeah.
Now, obviously, offline, you're going to want to create a relationship with the American Library Association through their book review magazine. That you would definitely want to do.
Right.
Beyond that, you this best books for young adults, I'm not sure that you can do anything with that website.
Yeah.
In terms of saying, hey, pay attention to my book.
Yeah.
Because this is a list that they create.
Right.
But again, you know, like I'm looking at it just to see if there's anything where they say, hey, anybody want to share, you know, potential recommendations?
Yeah.
Now, one thing that I would want to do, because this does show up at the top of the list for young adult novels, is I would want to talk to some of my local libraries.
Mm-hmm.
My local librarians, give them my book and ask them to recommend it to
mm-hmm.
the ALA.
Okay.
Because the ALA, or almost any association that has a website, is relying a lot on its members to give them, you know, direction, to give
yes.
them potential, you know, here's a good book.
Right.
And so, you know, I would want, you know, some of my local librarians to go in and send a letter to, you know, the, okay, what's the American Library Journal's book list,
mm-hmm.
which is their main book review media.
Mm-hmm.
I would want my librarian, and I would talk to them and say, hey, could you write to book list and just recommend this book?
Yeah, great idea.
And, you know, the advantage of that is that if somebody there reviews it, now you're in the first step to getting into the best books for 2008 or 2009.
Right, right.
Oh, there is a, you can nominate a title for 2009. There is a link here on the website
mm.
at ALA. And you
okay.
can nominate, oh, nope, they're closed.
Yeah.
The nomination form for 2009. Now, the 2009 list is for books that appeared in 2008.
Okay, well, mine, it will be
so
in 2010.
So, coming out in 2009,
yeah.
you will nominate it for 2010.
Yeah.
So just be aware that that's a possibility.
Okay.
And that you can do it. And they say check back in February of 2009
mm-hmm.
for the nominations for 2010.
One thing I'd like to do is get it out there for the independent bookstores, you know, the book choice or what's that called? I forget. The booksellers.
It's called IndieBound now.
Yes. Oh, and yeah, they have a new name now. And I suppose I should go to my publisher and ask them to send out some sort of a kit or something.
Well, they will do it for some things.
Yeah.
But if you want them to do it for the bookstores, you may have to talk to them and work with them to get something like that to happen.
Yeah. Okay.
And you may have to even volunteer, you know, what can I do that, you know, to help make that happen?
Yeah.
Now, one of the, you know, so the second link in Google for young adult novels is a Wikipedia entry
mm-hmm.
for young adult fiction.
Mm-hmm.
Now, the neat thing about Wikipedia is that as a member, you can go in and edit it.
Huh.
Now, this is going to be a pretty general thing. And they recommend some top titles, and again, they're all the classics like The Outsiders, Anna Green Gables, The Yearling,
uh-huh.
My Friend Flicka, some things like that. But now they also have some edgy content.
Yeah.
And these are some newer books.
Uh-huh.
Judy Blume's Forever, Ella Kaufman's Green Angel.
Sure.
And things like that. And let's see. Chances are you cannot recommend your book here. But they have a list. There's a link here to a list of young adult authors.
Uh-huh.
And you, this is a list of writers whose audience is predominantly teens or young adults.
Uh-huh.
Now, that is a list you would want to be on.
Yeah.
And the thing is, you can edit it.
Yes.
What's your last name?
Dutton, D-U-T-T-O-N.
Okay. So I click on, there's no Duttons there now.
Okay.
But what you can do is you can put your name there
mm-hmm.
with a link. Wow. You can create your own page. Or, better yet, have somebody else do it for you.
All right.
For Wikipedia, they don't like self-promotion.
Mm-hmm.
So have somebody else create a page for you
mm-hmm.
on Wikipedia,
Okay.
And then also have you listed in the young adult writers list that I, you know, that I just found.
Okay. Yeah.
Then you can also list some of your titles.
Mm-hmm.
And again, you can have links to those titles.
Okay.
So apparently, like somebody here, Lois Duncan, actually has a reference to her book. So she has
mm-hmm.
a book page.
Okay.
A page in Wikipedia for her book with a plot summary, the characters, and in this case, there was a film adaptation.
Hmm.
Okay. Well, actually, the novel was I Know What You Did Last Summer. You remember that film. But the thing is that, you know, there's a lot of authors here.
Yeah.
And some of them, a lot of them have their own book page on Wikipedia.
Okay.
And again, the best thing is with Wikipedia is to have a good friend do it. Or you may even have, you know, if you have a good friend who's a librarian or a bookseller, have them
do
it.
I do. All right.
Because, again, their credibility with Wikipedia will be stronger.
Right. Okay. Good idea.
Wikipedia, again, doesn't like self-promotion. So whenever you find the Wikipedia link at the top,
yeah.
What you want to do is get somebody else to write about you
okay.
and say that you're credible.
Okay.
But now there's another interesting, the third link in Google for young adult novels is a list that's maintained by Cynthia Leach Smith.
Ha, huh, yes.
And she's the official author, site, and home of Children's and YA Literature Resources. And she has young adult books, titles A through L, that
mm-hmm.
she recommends. Now, what you could do is say, hey, you know, I saw your list. I really like it. Some of the things that you've recommended are fantastic.
Yeah.
I would love it if you would take a look at my book.
Okay.
And see if she's open to it.
Right.
She's got her favorite reads, Kid Lit, by genre, different things like that. And she's
okay.
an author and a speaker.
And, of course, she's way high up on the list
she's
on
Google.
She's very
for young adult novels, so that's important.
Yeah.
And so you
yeah.
really want to be there.
Good.
Now, another thing that you might want to do is type into... And again, now you would go and continue for whatever your subject is. You would start to look and look at the other websites and try to create a relationship with them by offering them some sort of content or
okay.
asking them if they would showcase your book. You have to look at the site,
mm-hmm.
judge to see what are they doing on that site. Are they doing book reviews? Are they just listing books?
Mm-hmm.
Are they featuring authors? Are they? Is it a video site?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what is it? You know, how do they use content?
Right.
And what kind of content does it look that they use that comes from outside of what they create themselves?
Yeah.
In other words, if you looked at bookmarket.com, you will find that I do a lot of the content myself,
mm-hmm.
but I also have on my website articles that other people have submitted that I thought, okay, this is worth putting on my website.
Yeah. This is good, yeah.
So you see something like that on your website, you know, on the website you're targeting,
mm-hmm.
and what you do then is that you approach them and say, I have an article that I think you would like to put on your website.
Mm-hmm.
And so you ask them, you know, here's, you know, would it be okay if I submitted the article to you as
right.
an attachment? Here's the title of it, here's the purpose of it, here's how many words there are.
Yeah.
And I think it would fit perfectly into blah, blah, blah section of your website.
Yeah.
So if you showcase that you know their website, you
okay.
know what they're doing and what they're trying to do, and you provide them with some content that matches that,
right.
they're going to say, wow, where have you
yeah.
been all my life?
Yeah.
I need that content.
Yeah.
Because the top-rated sites in Google are there because they have good content.
Right.
And if they want to stay there, they have to continue to have good content.
Right.
Where do they get that good content? Some they create themselves, but 90% of it is created by somebody else.
Uh-huh. Okay.
And that's true for almost every top-rated site in any category that you're talking about.
Yeah.
And that's what you want to do. So, you know, again, like for young adult novels, you might go through the first two or three pages looking for, there's a website called yabookcentral.com.
Mm-hmm.
It's a site for and about readers of young adult and kids' books, and includes author interviews, book reviews, and study guides.
Right.
So, that, you know, that's a great website.
Good.
And again,
that's
there's
good.
More of them. So,
yeah.
One of the things you would do there, another thing that I would look for, especially for fiction, would be type in my category and then add reading groups.
Okay.
So I'm going into young adult reading groups, and Okay. Wow, there's a list here of them.
Wow.
Or possibly, this is a library, but there's a whole bunch of things here.
I see it. I've got the same thing up. Yeah.
And again, you know, for fiction especially, that's real important.
Yeah.
There's a really highly rated site, teenreads.com, that
mm-hmm.
I know is well rated. It's a highly rated site.
Okay.
So you'd want to try to see how you could create a relationship with that.
Yeah.
So you're always looking for what can we do. Now, this is interesting. You know, the young adult reading groups is part of the, you know, it's an odd website, and it just basically lists one with a library.
Huh.
But the neat thing about it is that there's an email there that you can email them and say, would you consider my book for your next reading group?
Yes. Yes. Good. Oh, yeah.
And then, again, you know, that's a way to start creating relationships,
mm-hmm.
start creating the word of mouth that you need to do.
Right.
So what you're really looking for is, you know, how do I create relationships with these websites that
yeah.
are highly rated for what I'm looking for?
Right.
And if I can, then this is going to help me. And sometimes the relationship you're going to create with them isn't necessarily online. It could be offline.
Yeah.
Like the young adult reading groups, they don't do all the discussion online. Most of it's
mm-hmm.
done offline in a real-world setting, like
yeah.
in this case, in a library.
Yeah.
So, but your chance is still there through this website. You found out about them. You can email them.
Yeah.
Now you have a possibility of creating a relationship where they actually, and again, anytime I'm going to approach a reading group, one of the first things that I'm going to do is offer to do a live session with them over the phone.
Okay.
So even if they're not in my hometown or even near my area, this
mm-hmm.
one's in, actually it's in the UK.
Mm-hmm.
So, mm-hmm. you know, that's, you know, it'd be nice if they paid your way to, you know, come there live, but that's probably not going to happen. But, you know, there's a possibility that they would do something with you as a reading group and then have
sure.
you phone them.
Oh, that's great.
And that could be wonderful. And again,
yeah.
and you can do the same thing with the other reading groups that you come across here.
Right.
And again, there's a lot of them. There's a nice website here called The Best Books for Young Adults.
Okay.
Selected by somebody. This is the ninth listing under Young Adult Reading Groups.
Yeah.
Anna Zanarini, and it's got her email address. Again,
uh-huh.
you could submit a review copy to her and say, I really like your list of the best books for young adults.
Yeah.
I know that I'm new and maybe my book isn't one of the best, but I would really appreciate it if you just look at it and give
yeah.
me some feedback.
Yes.
And then maybe she reviews it, maybe she adds it to her list, and fantastic. Now
yeah.
you're, and again, this is one of the top 10 ones.
Yeah. Good
and
idea.
And so, what you're looking for in terms of the websites you're searching are which ones are featuring content like mine
mm-hmm.
or which one attracts the people that I want to attract.
Mm-hmm.
So, again, I might go back into Google again and type in young adult social networks because
mm-hmm.
I want to see where they are.
Okay.
And now, again, this would be true for anybody, regardless of what your book is about, your topic. You could type in crocheting social networks
yeah.
or whatever it might be. And
mm-hmm.
the reality is you're going to find, now some of them are not going to be, you know, there's one here, social network density and rehospitalization among young adults, you know.
Yeah.
That isn't going to work, you know. That's not interesting. But and again, if you find that as you look at this, that there's really not anything that's really going to work for you, you might go even more specific and say young adult online social networks.
Mm-hmm.
And then you get a little bit different list.
Yeah.
And maybe that will give you some, you know, idea. And again, you have to play around a little bit with this.
Yeah.
But there is a nice one here that there's a social, there's onguardonline.gov, which talks about social networks, I think, for young adults. I'm clicking
mm-hmm.
on it now just to see what it says.
Mm-hmm.
But if it gives me, it talks about social networks, and it gives a parent's guide.
Yeah.
Help kids socialize. Let's see if they do a list or anything, a recommendation. They have four more information.
Okay.
And some of that might be of interest.
Yeah.
So they don't really recommend social networks for teens. One other thing that you know, you can do to look for social networks, there's one website that allows you to create your own social network. It's called Ning, N-I-N-G.
Mm-hmm.
Now Ning is is a wonderful website. The neat thing about it is that you can go into any social network on Ning.
Mm-hmm.
For example, I created a book marketing network, social network, and probably some of the people listening in now belong to that. There's about 2,600 members right now.
Mm-hmm.
But the neat thing is that you can go into any network on Ning, and I believe you can type in into the search area, and let me just see if that's true. Young adult networks. I'm just going to type that in and just see if it goes all over Ning or if it just searches my network. No,
okay.
It's only searching my network.
Mm-hmm.
So you would have to go directly to Ning.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I'm just going to type in Ning.com, N-I-N-G.com.
Okay.
And it was. It should allow you to, okay, let's see, search popular networks. Is that the best way to do it? Looks like it right now. So let's type on, there's a link up at the top. Okay, no, that doesn't, it just gives some of the more popular networks. Let's see, there's got to be a place here to search. Create a social network. I mean, they've got to have a place here for searching the Ning itself.
Yeah.
And not just clicking in from one to another.
Hmm.
I'm just seeing if there's anything. This is really interesting. I thought Ning had a search function.
Hmm.
And right now, I'm not seeing it.
No, not even at the bottom.
Yeah, I don't see anything there. Jobs. I guess I can get a job there. Create a social network, get a Ning idea, popular social networks. I mean, they have that, but there's no search box even there.
Mm-hmm.
Now, again, you could look through it. I mean, you know, you look through the popular search and social networks, and I'm looking at it now. And you've got KidNation.com,
mm-hmm.
Navy for Moms.
Mm.
This is a site for mothers of kids. So,
mm-hmm.
I mean, even with just sort of glancing through it, you
mm-hmm.
can begin to
you
look
might find
and see,
some groups.
Okay, here
yeah.
are some that maybe would be right for me.
Mm-hmm.
And then, again, you can go to the next 20. But why isn't there a search box for them?
Mm.
That is really
strange.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So one of the things I'm going to do is I'm going to go back to Google, and I'm going to type in young adult Ning networks.
Hmm.
And And okay, now they do have search results there.
So young adult authors that. Rally for Obama.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
Name search
results. Oh, there it is. You can. The box is there at the top. It says search popular networks. You have to click on it. And then you can type in young adults. And let's say young adult books. Let's just try that. Just see what they have. You got youngadultliterature.com. You got the Young Adult Forum, Metropolitan Young Adult Choir. You got a lot of young adult things here, and there's even one for yawriter.ning.com.
Mm-hmm.
So it does have a search thing. It's just at the top there, and it says search popular networks. You have to click on that, type in your search term,
and then it
will search it.
Okay.
So let's say that your topic was crocheting. You
right.
can look in it. Wow, look at all those crocheting networks. There's crocheting in Georgia, crocheting comadres, groovy knitters, witchcrafts, stitch and bitch, crochet critters, hip to stitch, Topeka yarn therapy. You know, there's all these networks.
Yes.
And again, you know, you can join some of them, test it out, post, you know, and once you join a network in Ning, you can blog, you can upload videos, you can make friends, you can create a discussion group. You can do all sorts of things.
Yeah.
And so Ning is an incredible resource for helping you to target people that can really make a difference in terms of
I like that. That's great.
What you're doing and so on. So, you know, that's a really good way to start to look at social networks beyond what Google can tell you. And now a lot of these are probably very small groups. I'm just going to type in on crocheting in Georgia and just see how many members they have. let's see, members. One.
One?
Okay. Somebody created it, and they haven't invited anybody else yet, obviously.
Yeah.
So let's look at another one. Groovy Knitters, I bet they have more people. Actually, as I'm looking at it, they've got Groovy Knitters has 14 members.
Huh.
Now, you're probably going to have more luck. If you look at the search results in Ning, if you follow along with us here, you'll see that a lot of the Ning sites don't have a graphic with them. They just have, little dots.
Yeah.
Chances are the ones with graphics are more active.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to I'm going to click on Hip to Stitch.
Hip to Stitch.
And because they have a graphic and see how many members they have. Let's see what we got here. Two. Okay.
Two.
That theory didn't work. Topeka Yarn Therapy. That's got to be a good one.
We've got to see what they have.
Let's see how many members. Well, they've got some members because they've got a number.
Well, okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
14 again.
Yeah.
14. Now, so a lot of these are fairly small right now.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to try. Did I try Groovy Knitters yet? I did try Groovy Knitters, didn't I?
I think so.
Yeah, that's the one that had 14 members. Okay.
Yeah.
Again, one stitch at a time. Let's just see what the.
Stitch and bitch, you have to sign in.
In order to even see it?
Uh huh.
Okay. Some of them have. Oh, wow. You do have to. Huh.
Knitgirl.com.
Okay,
network.
So that's
you have to sign in there, too.
That's a private network.
Hmm.
And that means that it's invitation only.
Mm-hmm.
I apologize for the ringing phone. That's my fax line. And
that's okay.
I should get that down to nothing. Because I don't need to know when a fax is coming in.
Okay.
Knit Girl Network might be an interesting one. I'm just going to... Oh, no, that's a sign-in one, too.
Several of them are, yeah.
Okay, so that means it's invitation only, which is interesting. Wait, here you can click. Nick Girl, you can click here. If you're not a member, you can click here to sign up. Then you have to give them information.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to do that just because I want to see what's going on here. I'm going to give it... I don't knit, so I'll probably never show up here again, but I can, so I will eventually be one of the members.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, they want me to create a profile and all that. Okay, so I'm just going to give myself a
You're going to have to knit a potholder soon.
I'm not going to do that. Okay. Boy, this is a lot of work to get into it. But I just want to try once just because I want to see, you know, if the private network has more members. It looks like they have maybe 7 members. Yep.
Hmm.
And am I one of them? Yes, I am. Yay! It's me. Okay, so... You know, there are going to be, because Ning allows you to create any kind of network, you can have a lot of small member networks.
Mm-hmm.
And your job is to, cruise through them and just see if there are some that are more popular.
Yeah.
I'm not sure if there's a way to, if you click on popular social networks, you get probably the most popular.
Mm-hmm.
So, you type on, like we saw that one, what was it, Kids Nation. So let's just see if they have very many members, because it's theoretically one of the more popular ones. So I'm going to just see. They have 11,826 members.
Mm.
So you may, in Ning, actually want to start by just browsing the most
mm-hmm.
popular ones, page by
mm-hmm.
page, because this is obviously a very, very popular website. And it's, it's interesting. I wonder what it's about.
Nation.
It's Kid Craddock mm-hmm. in the Morning, which sounds like a radio show.
Hmm.
And it doesn't necessarily say what it's about.
No.
A network should say what it's about.
Well.
Let's see. Chat groups, message board, my page, members, media. Well, they don't really say what it's about. But it's got a lot of members.
Yeah.
But it sounds like it might be a radio show or something, but the graphic doesn't seem to indicate that.
Huh.
Exactly. I don't know.
Yeah.
So, again, you would have to, with Ning, you're going to have to do a certain amount of looking at things and seeing whether or not they're of any interest to you.
The
NavyForMoms.com, it's to the men and women, it's about Navy women, mothers.
Huh.
This is a site for the mothers of kids in the U.S. Navy and for moms who have questions about Navy life for their kids.
Yeah.
And, again, it's probably going to skew a little bit too old for your book.
Yeah.
But they have 7,837 members.
Huh.
So what you're looking at when you get to that first page is you're looking at probably the most popular websites.
Yeah.
And, again, you can go down and see if there are others. There's one called Albany Friends, and it's for everybody who loves Albany, Georgia.
Something for everyone.
And it would be interesting to see how many. Nope, you have to sign in order to look at it.
Mm.
So I don't know how many there are. I'm not signing in again. But again, Ning is an incredible resource for that.
I didn't realize it was so huge.
It's got, basically anybody can create a network on it. So
mm-hmm.
It has a lot of different, potential you know, people looking at it and being able to search it.
Mm-hmm.
It would be interesting. Social networks can be a really valuable thing to have. I don't recommend, you know, spending a lot of time doing Facebook and
mm-hmm.
MySpace and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you should at least join Facebook and MySpace, have a page there so that if people search for you on those sites, they can find you.
Yeah.
And that way, you know, you'll own better positioning for your name when Google searches for you.
Yeah.
Because Google searches will include your MySpace page, your Facebook page, your LinkedIn page, your Gather.com page, and some other different social networks that you might very well want to, be part of.
Right. Okay.
And this, again, would be true regardless of who, you know, is doing it. And
so I would create a sort of an author page? Or
you would just create a page for you, a personal page, and you could focus on your book and you as
mm-hmm.
an author.
Okay.
And that's what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
And I have pages on Gather and LinkedIn and...
mm-hmm.
Oh, there's one that you would want to belong to, and that's called Jacket Flap.
Hmm. Okay.
Because it's for children's book writers.
Right. Okay.
And that's for people of, you know, all ages.
Okay.
So I would definitely want to be part of that.
Okay.
For a children's book.
Yeah.
And so what you want to do, there's also a social networking website for mothers called Mom Junction.
Mm-hmm.
If you go to my website at bookmarket.com/socialnetworks.htm,
mm-hmm.
I list some of the top social networking websites.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously not all of them. Don't even begin to try to reach all of them.
Mm-hmm.
But, again, you can go there and look. That, again, is bookmarket.com/socialnetworks.htm.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And you can find, again, a lot of different social networking services and so on.
Okay.
That you can do. Now, the one thing that would be interesting is I'm trying to think if there's a social network search engine.
Hmm.
And I don't remember necessarily seeing one.
Mm-hmm.
I was just wondering if I had it on the page. I know what we'll do. The handy dandy thing, go to Google.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
Let's just see if there are any social networks search engine. Okay, search engine watch, that really isn't a search engine.
Social networking, so search engine.
Social software.
New search engine
taps networking, there are social bookmarking things that do sort of like a social networking thing.
Mm-hmm.
Huh. That isn't quite the term we need to use in order to find what we're trying to find here. Okay, here's one. Wink launches social network search. Okay, they're doing it for the major social networks.
Wink.
I don't know. If you want to know, if you want to really keep up on it, if any of you are really into social networking, there's a great website called Mashable.com that tracks all the new changes and things that are going on in the social networking world.
Hmm.
It's Mashable.com. And that's a really great website to look at social networking things. And again, I'm not saying spend a lot of time on social networks, but you do want to probably, you know, I think with young adults, they probably
yeah.
do a lot of stuff on social networks. And since you have that kind of book, I might want to get onto Facebook and then see if there is within Facebook... Within Facebook and MySpace, you can search for groups, people that have joined groups.
Okay.
So you can go into Facebook as a member. You can say, I want to know other people who are interested in young adult novels.
Yeah.
And you can search, and you may find groups that have identified themselves, raised their hand, and formed a group on Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
Or
mm-hmm.
you may find individuals that
mm-hmm.
that are doing that.
Okay.
Okay, this one link is taking forever to hook up. I'm not sure why.
Yeah, in Mashable, how did I spelled it like potatoes? M-A-S-H-A-B-L-E.
Yeah.
And it doesn't come up.
Yeah, it seems to be having some trouble right now.
Huh.
Mine
okay.
is slowly loading. It's not, I'm not
yeah.
sure why.
Maybe they're working on it.
Yeah, they might be.
Yeah.
Usually, in my past experience, it always came up fairly quickly, so I'm
mm-hmm.
surprised. But that is a great place to go if you want to find out anything having to do with social networking.
Okay.
Because their job, they track the social networking sites, provides you know updates on them, and
mm-hmm.
things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So the key part of what you want to do, and what I've been talking about so far tonight, is you want to create relationships with the top websites that people are going to go to.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe it's not young adult social networks where the kids go. Maybe they actually go to some websites other than that.
Mm-hmm.
And, again, you don't always do everything online in terms of searching for it. I mean, if I had a young adult novel, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to talk to some teenagers in my neighborhood and say, where do you social network on the Internet?
Mm-hmm.
Where do you gather? What sites do you go to when you want to find something hot, interesting, something new to read?
Right.
And I would ask a number of them offline, you know, where do you go? And then I would
mm-hmm.
start to look at those websites.
Okay.
Because you can't just rely on, you know, Google and things like that to find
yeah.
the networks that people are going to.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's a great idea.
You can certainly do it by topic. I mean, if you're typing, you know, if you type in crocheting,
mm-hmm.
and let's say that you have a crocheting book and it's on Halloween patterns.
Mm-hmm.
So you can say, type in crocheting Halloween patterns. And I bet you'd find, you know, there you go right away. You got crocheingpatterncentral.com.
Yeah.
And crochetatabout.com.
Mm-hmm.
And crochetmemories.com and so on and so forth. Now you've got, you know, if you have a very specific topic like that, it's very easy to find some of the top websites by just typing into Google,
mm-hmm.
and you're going to find, you know, the people you want to find.
Right.
Now, each of those websites, if you can create a link from each of these top 10, 20, 30 websites that Google shows up for whatever, you know, key search
mm-hmm.
term you're looking for,
mm-hmm.
you will very quickly start to show up in the top 30.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because one of the ways that Google judges whether or not a particular page or website is applicable is by how many of the top websites already that they have are linking to your website.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways, again, that you get that is by providing content to those
mm-hmm.
websites.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you look at each website and you look at what is it. How do they use outside content?
Mm-hmm.
They might review products or books. They might interview experts. They might feature articles written by experts. They might feature excerpts from books.
Right.
They might write news stories about people, places, or things.
Mm-hmm.
They might have a blog that features content from other websites. They might do
yeah.
podcasts.
Yeah.
They might do vodcasts, which is video podcasts.
Okay.
They might host teleseminars.
Mm-hmm.
They might highlight interesting book trailers.
Okay.
They might have pages. They may have, for example, a Hall of Fame or a Top
mm-hmm.
100 list.
Right.
They may have the best of something list, something like that.
Right.
They may have a bibliography of recommended books.
Hmm.
They may have an e-zine that they publish, and you could maybe get featured in that.
Yeah.
They may have a syndicated content that they mm-hmm. syndicate, and they draw material from other people.
Okay.
They may have a forum. They may encourage user-generated content. Mm-hmm. For example, right now, if you go to fastcompany.com, which is a business magazine website, one of the things you can do there is create your own page and then write a blog on fastcompany.com. Mm-hmm.
Fastcompany.com. Yeah.
And again, that's a business magazine website.
Okay.
But they will have many different ways that they may look for information that you could make use of and start to create a relationship with them.
Yeah.
And again, almost every website is probably selling ad space.
Uh-huh.
And you might even think about having an ad on their website.
Yeah.
Now, that's my last thing I'm going to do.
Right.
You know, if I can't create a relationship with that website in any other way, I might buy an ad on it if I think mm-hmm. it's that important.
Mm-hmm.
And the thing is that you can buy ads, especially through, there's a nice service online called blogads.com.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That, and again, I feature a lot of different blogging, advertising resources on the internet, and I'm trying to think of, it's called blogads.htm.
Yes.
And what I feature there is all the different advertising resources for the internet, including display ads and so on. But that's a great place to go. Again, that's bookmarket.com/blogads.htm.
Mm-hmm.
And you'll find lots of different blog and website advertising resources.
Mm-hmm.
At the top of that list is blog ads,
mm-hmm.
which is, it sells ads on like 1,500 blogs, and the mm-hmm. cost is fairly inexpensive.
Hmm.
You can actually spend like $50 or less to get exposure on some blogs.
Hmm.
You can also look at this.
For how long? For a blog
for a
is...
$50 a month.
Yeah.
And whatever visitors come during that month,
okay.
You get it. And they'll give you the numbers of what the average visitors are and so on and so
mm-hmm.
forth.
Hmm.
They have a lot of good information, and it's also a good place to just find out what blogs are covering your subject, because you can search by subject.
Yeah.
There's another wonderful website that will apply for anybody that's appealing to women, and that's BlogHer, BlogHer.com.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And that's an online ad network composed of 2,200 women's blogs.
Hmm.
Some of those blogs are very small readership. Some are very, very popular. And have a lot of readership, a lot of interactivity, things like that.
Yeah.
And if you go to blogher.com, you can start to look at it and look to see what they're doing.
Thanksgiving turkey. Okay.
And then you can also, I know there's an ad network here too, and then, again, I'm not sure quite where to find it on this page. The blogher.com is also devoted to women, anybody, any women bloggers, so it gives information for women who are blogging.
Mm-hmm.
But somewhere here there was an advertising thing. BlogHer ads up there at the top.
Mm-hmm.
And you can click on that and you can find out about what kind of ads they have and
sure.
to offer you.
Mm-hmm.
And again, they have 2,200 editorially vetted blogs. That means that they actually look at them and see that they're active blogs.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can find out about them. Yeah. Their network of bloggers reach 8 million unique women each month.
Hmm.
That's really neat. That's a lot of women.
Oh, yeah.
So, again, if you have a site for women, you know, you want to, hook up with this network
mm-hmm.
and just even just to search it to see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
Because, for example, they say, meet our bloggers. And so then they have different categories here.
Mm-hmm.
And so you can look at entertainment bloggers.
Yeah.
Just seeing what they got here. They got some different... add information here. Let's see, let us set it from August Entertainment Network. Okay, so they don't actually list the network, I mean the actual blogs. They give you some of the most recent postings.
Mm-hmm.
That's too bad. Blog ads actually allows you to search for blogs. Let's see. Now I'm at blogherads.com. That's
mm-hmm.
where they switch you to. And they've got this for advertisers. You can get their media kit. Let's see if they allow you to do any kind of searching. No, it doesn't look like you can inquire. But you can email their sales reps and say, look, I'm looking to hook up with this kind of category.
Mm-hmm.
How many blogs do you have that cover this area? And what would it cost me to reach them? So apparently they don't have a search function.
Hmm.
That's too bad. Blog ads does.
Okay.
At least it did the last time I looked.
Okay.
Again, these things change all the time, so sometimes.
Yeah. I was unaware of these.
But again, if you go to that my website, you can go look at some of the other websites here that, you know, have stuff.
Okay.
There's another network called Brainy Ads, and there are a lot of book and literary blogs that are part of that advertising network.
B-R-A-I-N.
Brain and then I-N.
I-A-D-S. Okay.
Yeah, so it's sort of like Brainiac, but it's Brainy Ads.
Okay.
You know, so again, there are some great ones here.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's some other different advertising networks. Sometimes some of these advertising networks actually allow you to start to search and see what's there.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a way to start to find out, okay, you know, what exists in this category.
Mm-hmm.
And again, there's one here called Travel Ad Network. That this is for travel websites. If you have a travel book, you'd want to probably join that network, and
yeah.
if you have a travel website, join that network to make money on your, you know, even if just for accepting ads on your website.
Right.
Rather than trying to create your own, relationship with it, something like that.
Uh-huh. Okay. Very good.
You know, these are just some of the things that you can do that, oh boy, my own web page is causing me a problem right now. Okay,
how so?
There's a script.
The host or the, it's just not working
now? There was a flash ad in it that was causing a problem.
Oh.
And just by saying no, I was able to get out of it. Because there's a widget ad there that for some reason caused a problem. Don't know why. Okay. So, again, Lynn, I know you're listening in. I don't know if anybody else is. Lynn, if you have any questions as we're going along, please type them in. I'll be happy to answer them. But what you want to do with each website that you finally track down, either a website that features content like yours or appeals to an audience that you're trying to reach.
Right.
Those are the two key kind of websites you want to look at.
Okay.
The ones that feature content like yours
and
those that reach an audience that you're trying to reach.
Content like mine or reach an audience.
And so for that, you want to... You want to find those websites, look at what they're doing, and again, this is going to take a little bit of time, you know, and don't think it doesn't, but you're creating a relationship that you hope will last for years.
Right.
So it's worth spending the time to start to create a relationship with 20 or 30 websites or more if you want that are really targeting your potential audience, and ideally you hope to offer them some new content every month or every 2 months or something like that, depending on how often they are open to it.
Mm-hmm.
It's very possible that you could find a website, say, devoted to young adult novels,
mm-hmm.
or teen reads, let's say, .com, that would be looking for somebody to be a columnist,
mm-hmm.
to write about what it's like to be a writer or something like
mm-hmm.
that.
Mm-hmm.
Or a crocheting columnist that focuses in on a certain kind of pattern or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you could actually have something where once a week you answer people's questions.
Yeah.
Now that would be incredible exposure on a website that it's high traffic.
Right.
Now part of, so what you want to do is you want to offer them the content that
mm-hmm.
they would like most to use, whether it's a teleseminar, a review copy of the book,
mm-hmm.
an interview, whatever it is that they like.
Mm-hmm.
Then what you want to do, the protocol in the internet is that if they feature your content on their website, they have an obligation to provide a link back to your website.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what you want.
Yeah,
you
always want
that link back.
Yeah.
Because if you get a link back to those top 30 websites,
mm-hmm.
Very soon you're going to be one of the top 30 websites
mm-hmm.
for that category.
Mm-hmm.
So if you were, crocheting Halloween patterns and you had a Halloween pattern book, you could very, very quickly have your website be one of the top 30 by simply creating a relationship with the other websites
right.
that are there.
Right. Okay.
You can always, as a last resort, and even as a first resort if you want, offer to any website the possibility to be an affiliate of yours.
Mm-hmm.
If you have an affiliate set up.
Mm-hmm.
What is an affiliate? An affiliate is that you pay them for recommending, for anybody that buys your book from a click from their website.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
And any shopping cart software will have an affiliate program module of some sort.
Okay.
That allows you to create affiliates if you have a shopping cart.
Yeah.
Now, if you don't have a shopping cart, you can always, let's say you only have one book and that's all you have.
Yeah.
You can always offer that book as an ebook on ClickBank.com.
What is it? ClickBank?
ClickBank.
Huh.
Click and then
oh,
bank.
Oh, click. Click.
Yeah.
ClickBank. Okay.
And then you can, from there, you can have affiliates, because once
mm-hmm.
you offer a product on ClickBank, any other member of ClickBank can offer your product for sale as well.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Based on, what you are offering them.
Mm-hmm.
So it becomes a really neat way to start to get, some traffic
mm-hmm.
from websites and pay them for it.
Yeah.
So it's a nice sort of a quid pro quo, you could say. It's a way for them to get some money.
Mm-hmm.
And you can find a number of other websites like that by going to bookmarket.com, eproducts.htm.
Mm-hmm.
E
mm-hmm.
and then products,
P-R-O-D-U-C-T-S,
dot H-T-M, not dot com, sorry. bookmarket.com/eproducts.htm. And in there, I have a list of other websites like CreateSpace, eBay, FreeIQ, Lodingo,
mm-hmm.
Lulu, Pay.com, Payloads, and YourPublish.com that all allow you to sell, almost in every case, an e-product. In
mm-hmm.
other words, something that can be downloaded.
Hmm.
So it could be an ebook, an audio, or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And even if you only have a book right now, a physical book, you could create either an ebook of that,
mm-hmm.
or you could create some other e-content related to what your book is about.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect thing, to my mind, would be an audio.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So you could create an audio that is, again, targeted to your target customers, where you, again, somewhere in that audio talk about your book as well, even
mm-hmm.
though it's a physical book,
mm-hmm.
that you could then upload to ClickBank and some of these other websites and sell as a product,
mm-hmm.
And then get, potential people signing in as affiliates to promote that.
Mm-hmm.
So now you have something that you can offer the websites that you approach an affiliate relationship if you don't have the
mm-hmm.
shopping, you know, the shopping cart software or an affiliate program within
mm-hmm.
your shopping cart software.
Okay, this is good. Yeah.
That allows you, and the thing is, it's very easy to create an audio.
Mm-hmm.
All you have to do is sit down with one other person and have them interview you.
Mm-hmm.
What you want is somebody that's good at asking questions.
Well, you know what? Yeah, and in my book, I'm going to have a lot of information. It's fiction, you know, but it's about the Cincinnati Arch, which is a geological formation that pushed up all pre-dinosaur fossils in the area.
Okay.
And I think that would be interesting to talk about that.
Okay, so you could talk about the actual nonfiction aspect of that.
Yeah.
And a lot of fiction people could do the same thing.
Yeah.
Where you're talking, you know, if your book is about horses, like Dick Francis, Horse
mm-hmm.
Mysteries, you could even, you know, you could talk about, you know, that, the world
mm-hmm.
Of horse racing, something like
yeah.
that. So there's a lot of ways that you can do that. And
okay.
again, you get somebody, if you're comfortable just doing it on your own and just talking in and doing an audio, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
But I think the more interesting audio product is usually when there's an interaction.
Oh, yeah. I think so, too.
And so you find a friend that's good at asking questions.
Mm-hmm.
And then
okay.
you provide them with some of the questions you want them to ask.
Right.
And you let them go from there.
Okay.
And again, the audio could be 20 minutes, half
uh-huh.
hour, 2 hours,
mm-hmm.
whatever it is that's right for your particular topic and your particular audience.
Yeah.
Now, if I were trying to reach young adult readers,
mm-hmm.
I would probably want to keep it to 20 or 30 minutes.
Yeah.
If I was trying to reach, you know, somebody that's much more interested in in-depth knowledge, then I might go as long as 2 hours. I probably would not go longer than 2 hours.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Because I think eventually you lose people.
Yeah.
They're not going to continue listening.
Yeah.
And I think you want that to happen.
No, I think 20 to 30 minutes would be good.
So, you know, that's what you're looking for. Let's see.
Okay.
So Lynn has sent me a question here. She says, I have an illustrated Christmas coffee table book. Who were the Magi? Historical biblical fiction for whole family, mostly older children through adults. Got any ideas? I've been writing notes and going through the website so far. You've been keeping me busy. again, one thing that I'm going to look for is, you know, Christmas sites. Because there are a lot of people that even year-round are in love with Christmas. You know, there are
That's
something
true.
Like, in this country, there's something like 100, somewhere between 100 and 200 Christmas shops. And their whole focus is on the gift shops for Christmas items.
Mm.
Bulbs, decorations, et cetera, et cetera. So, you know, right there you've got, you know, there are websites that are going to also be very much interested in that. So one of the things I would do is I would type in Christmas into Google, but I'd probably try to be a little bit more specific than that. So I might go to Google and type in Christmas books. And, again, sometimes you have to go and sort of guess for a while. And, again, Google brings up, when I type in Christmas books, they suggest Christmas books for children, toddlers, by Charles Dickens, personalized, et cetera, et cetera. There are 1.13 million hits for Christmas books for children in mm-hmm. Google. There are over 2 million hits results for Christmas books for 2008.
Mm.
So let's just, I'm going to click on the Christmas books for 2008 just to see what they have. Associated Content has an article on the best Christmas books for 2008. The top 100 books, mininova.org has something. Zomba.com has Christmas books for Christmas 2008. There's a link from Amazon. Amazon apparently has recommendations for Christmas books. CBS News has a video, apparently, where Harry Smith and Julie Chen have talked about Christmas books for kids. Apparently that's already happened for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe they'll do it again. You know, and again, I'd go look at that video and see what they did and see if there's any opening for something more. And again, I'd go through Google and look at that. I might type in something like Christmas memories. I'm just, you know, again, you're thinking a little bit. Now here you got MyMerryChristmas.com shows up first. MorningGlow.com, which is apparently about memories. OldChristmasLights.com with Christmas memories. Again, you're looking for, you know, because, you know, part of it to me is, you know, the Magi to me, it's all tied up to me in my memories of Christmas and looking at the, oh boy, what's it called when you have that Christmas setting? Manger.
Creche,
I think is another word for
manger.
It.
Manger.
And manger is another one. So I might type in Christmas creche or Christmas major and look to see what who's doing things. I typed in Christmas creche, and what I got was christmascreche.org, catholictradition.org, catholiceducation.org, Christmas decorations, giftstore.com, christmasnightincorporated.com. Now, some of these are obviously selling Christmas nativity sets and so on. And again, so you type in Christmas creche, Christmas nativity sets, things like this, or even just Christmas nativity and see what comes up. So you try to look for different words to find out what would work, and you'll very quickly start to come up with some websites that tend to dominate this. Like ChristmasNightIncorporated.com shows up a number of times, and even that ChristmasDecorationsGiftStore.com shows up a number of times. Those are websites that you would probably want to have selling your book. Since they're selling manger scenes, somebody would probably, wanting to buy a manger or nativity scene, would probably be interested in the story of the Magi, however you pronounce
right.
it. So, you know, those would be some of the things that I would be looking at as ways to do it. Now, I don't know. I know I grew up Catholic, so I know the Catholics are really into the nativity scenes and the Magi and all that. I don't know about other Christian religions. I know that, you know, the Muslims are probably not that big into it, and the Jews probably not, and the Buddhists probably not. But and I'm sure that some of the other Christian denominations are very much into nativity scenes. I know that some are not. And what I would try to do is look for some of those kinds of things, because as we looked for some of the things that we just, you know, I mentioned, we came across a number of different Catholic sites. So I might think, okay, let me look for more Catholic sites, because Catholics should be interested in the Magi. In my experience growing up as a kid, I know Lutherans like nativity scenes, so I would maybe look for Lutheran sites. And again, any Christian site that is going to be interested in the nativity scene is probably going to have a certain amount of content related to Christmas, especially around this time of the year. So I would be looking to offer them some content, maybe a short history of the Magi, you know, maybe a more prosaic history. You said yours was a fictional version of it, a coffee table illustrated book. Who were they? So you could tell the story of the Magi and offer it to a lot of different Christmas websites, Christian websites, and so on. And then at the end of it, of course, Lynn Benson, author of such and such a book, an illustrated Christmas coffee table book about the Magi. Who were they? Where did they come from? Blah, blah, blah. With a link again to your website or to Amazon.com or wherever it is that you want to send them to. And again, where you send them is up to you. When you're creating relationships with these websites, if you want to send all the traffic to Amazon to go buy the book right away, or if you want to first have them go to your website where you can capture their name and address because you have other products coming out, I don't know, Lynn, for example, you have Who Were the Magi? Well, I might have a second book coming out saying Who Were the Shepherds? You know, I don't know. I presume my experience is that most book authors have more than one book. So there's a chance that you have additional product coming out so that you want to create a relationship with some of these websites so that not only, and so you may want to capture the names of the people that you get exposed to rather than simply sending them to Amazon to buy the book. So you may want to have some sort of capture mechanism where they join an email list so that you can inform them of your next book. Or even, you know, one of the things we know about Christmas books is that they're a perennial seller. Every season around Christmas, that same Christmas book is going to sell again, over and over again.
Hmm.
There's a one of Dr. Seuss's books, Oh, the Places You Will Go, that sells thousands and thousands and thousands of copies every graduation day.
Hmm.
Because a lot of parents and brothers and sisters and whatever give that book to the graduate. Because it's an inspiring book about, at least I think it is. I haven't read it, so I don't know. But I think it talks about what your potential is and where you could go.
Mm-hmm.
And what you could do, and so it makes a nice graduation gift. Another one that used to be very popular was H. Jackson Brown's Life's Little Instruction Book.
Mm-hmm.
And that sold millions of copies around graduation day for many years and was a very profitable book for the publisher who published it and, of course, also for the author. So you know that, so you may want to capture their names anyway so that every year you can remind them that there's this book out that they either fell in love with or they meant to buy the previous year and maybe they'll buy it this year.
Hmm.
And again, depending on, you know, your audience, you may find that somebody buys the book one year and the next year wants to buy another copy to give to somebody they love, a friend, a family member, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
I have a sister that's really into Christmas decorations, so, you know, if I had bought your book and I liked it, then I might end up buying a copy for her the next year. And you'll find that there are a lot of people that do. I mean, there's a reason that those 100 to 200 Christmas shops exist around the country. It's because there's a lot of people that collect those kinds of things.
Mm-hmm.
And so somebody may buy the book one year, but if they're on your email newsletter, even if you only send them an email once a year, right, you know, 4 weeks before Christmas or 6 weeks before Christmas, that gives them the chance to again buy for a friend that they know collect. Because my experience is that when people collect things, they know other people who collect the same thing.
Mm.
And so they're more likely to want to buy that book as a gift.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, again, how you decide where you're going to send them depends on where you think how you want to create that relationship with that customer. If you only have one book and that's all you expect to ever sell them, you might send them directly to Amazon and let them buy it there, especially if you don't have a shopping cart on your website. But if you do have a shopping cart, then you probably want to capture the email address so that you can remind them the next year, to buy.
This book looks very nice. I found it on the web, Lynn Benson's, and it looks like her son did the illustrations.
Oh.
Yeah.
That's neat.
Yeah. It looks really
so
nice.
So, you know, that's you know, those are the kinds of things that you decide that, you know, what do you want to do? How do you want to do it? What kind of relationship do you want to create? And then go from there. Okay, so Joshua Benson is the illustrator.
Yeah.
And you figure that must be her son.
Well,
her husband. Or does it say somewhere here? Oh, there it is, the illustrator. Graduated with a bachelor's art.
Maybe it is husband.
It doesn't say if he's son or husband. Okay, Lynn, tell us what he is. Put that on the website, you know.
She and her son Joshua. She and her son Joshua.
She does say that somewhere, huh?
Yeah, it says
that
under Lynn's
bio. Probably put it
again
in the bio because it's not in the bio.
Yeah.
But, so that's neat. So, you know, it's a wonderful looking book, and obviously she can order it. Apparently you can order it directly here.
Yeah.
So she has the ability, you know, to sell directly. So then she might want to, you know, capture that information. Okay, so she's using Atlas Books as her fulfillment service for this. So they actually handle the fulfillment probably.
Yeah.
And they probably are also her distributor. And that means distributor into the bookstores.
Mm-hmm.
She says, yes, my son did the illustrations. This is my first book, but I want to make it a series of other biblical characters. So then, obviously, she wants to capture the names of everybody that's ordering or, you know, potentially would order it.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to send them to a place where you can capture their email address, ideally. And ideally, you'd like to capture it even if they don't buy the book.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes that may require that you offer them something free if they give you their email address. Now, if they order the book, they're going to give you their email address. Your order form should be collecting email addresses. That's absolutely essential if you're selling books on your own website. You should capture the email address of anybody who orders from you.
Mm-hmm.
And either have a... And again, this is part of the strategy is that once you do have somebody coming to your website and buying from you, if they buy a book from you, one of the things that you can also do with a good shopping cart, and again, I don't know if Atlas Books allows this to happen, is that you can have an automatic series of emails go out to that person for the next week, 2 weeks, 3 weeks, whatever. I haven't implemented this myself, but in my shopping cart I can do this. And the neat thing about it is it's a great thing. Like in the case of Lynn, who were the Magi? If somebody buys from you, you could have an email come back to them, say, 4 or 5 days later that says, we hope you like the book, you know, or four or five days after you expect them to get the book.
Mm-hmm.
So let's say you allow a week for the book to get to them, and then you wait another five or six days, and you send them an email. And this can all be automated with a good shopping cart software, so that the person, when they buy the book, automatically will get an email message 10 days later or 14 days later that says, we hope you like the book. If you really like it, and you would, you know, we hope you'll recommend it to your friends. And perhaps you'll even think about buying one for a gift, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
And then provide a link back to your website again. This is great follow-up, and everybody should be doing this if you're selling products on the Internet.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm a major violator of this principle. That's one of the things I have to do. That there are a lot of things that I want to do that I just haven't gotten to yet because I'm, you know, helping people. But... you want to, especially, you know, with you having only one or two products, make sure that you have some sort of ongoing communication with them. One or two or three emails that come after they bought the book.
Mm.
This is especially important if you've got a book that's going to be nonfiction. For example, with my 1001 Ways to Market Your Books, one of the key things that, you know, that I would do in a follow-up email is probably say, well, I don't know how far you've gotten in the book yet, but I really recommend that if you're interested in selling the catalogs, be sure to read Chapter 19. If you're interested in marketing on the Internet, make sure you read Chapter 12. You know, so I could do a couple alternatives like that so that people get into the book. Because the sooner somebody gets into your book and starts reading it, the sooner they will be one of your word-of-mouth advocates telling other people about
That's
the
true.
Book. But if they buy a book and then set it aside and, you know, then it's 3 months later before they read it, you've lost 3 months of potential word-of-mouth. So a follow-up email that encourages them to start to, you know, to pick up the book and read it, rather than just set it aside or remind them that they got the book and, you know, if you haven't read it yet, I hope you do. And if you like it, I hope you'll write a comment on Amazon.com recommending my book or send me a comment. You know, again, you can ask them for whatever you want. But in the process of doing that follow-up email, you are also starting to create a relationship with them that could live for the next 2, 3, 4, 5 books you have.
Where
now, for example, with Lynn, she's talking about writing about other biblical characters. One of the things that she could do in one of the follow-up emails that she sent, it might not be the first, but it might be a second or third, it says, I hope you enjoyed the Magi. I was curious. I'm thinking about writing other books about biblical characters. Who would you like to read about next? And you could maybe make a list of them. Noah, Abraham, Samson, and Delilah, blah, blah, blah. You know, you could make a list and then allow people to fill out that survey. And again, it could be a survey that you just allow them to do it through the email, or you could set up a survey on your website that you send them to through a link in the email where there's survey software that you can get free on the Internet. So that you can run a survey on your website and survey people and get an automatic tally of what people are voting for. So,
what kind of software do you need to do this, you know, to send these successive,
Most shopping cart softwares allow you to do that.
Okay.
So if you get and again, I have a list of, I think on my website is some shopping cart software. I think it's at bookmarket.com/gift3.htm.
Okay.
The service that does my book fulfillment, the speaker fulfillment services out of Indiana, is very soon going to be offering the possibility for people that do fulfillment with them to also use their shopping cart software. That's what I do.
Yeah.
And their shopping cart software allows me to have people join as many different mailing lists as they want. I haven't implemented that yet. Or get a series of follow-up emails if they sign up for a list or if they buy something, et cetera, et cetera. And you can, again, customize it per product if you want.
Mm-hmm.
So I could easily, let's say that I, and this is something I should do, I sell a list of the top 700 independent bookstores. It's actually around 760 or so. One of the things that I rely on is feedback from the people who buy that database to tell me if there's errors, if there's things that need to be updated. So one of the things I should do, and I should make a note of that, is send out an email about 2 weeks later saying, have you sent out the list yet? Have you used it via email? Or because I provide the email addresses as well as the physical address as well as fax number and so on. I could do a follow-up saying, I hope you've enjoyed using this database. If you have found any errors or omissions, I would greatly appreciate it. Please email them to me, blah, blah, blah.
Huh.
And that would be a good follow-up. I do it in, when they buy the product, they can download the information and I ask for it there. But most people forget. And if I'm going to keep that database up to date, I really do need the feedback from other people because I can't do it all myself.
Right.
And so I really do rely on feedback. So I should have something like this where 2 weeks later, they get an email from me, and 2 months later, they get an email from me, and maybe even 6 months later, they get an email from me.
Right.
And then maybe a year later, they get another email that says, you know, it's time to buy the new version. And so you can see how, as you develop, again, this is a way of developing relationships with your customers.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the ways to do that is through that follow-up. My main way of keeping, you know, in contact with my customers or potential customers right now is through my email newsletter that comes out about once a week.
Right.
And that's what I've used so far as my main way of maintaining a relationship. But I should implement these follow-up emails. And so I wrote a note to myself because I need to do that. And I really do recommend everybody do that because it's so important in terms of starting to create that relationship, an ongoing relationship. Now, if you have an email newsletter, it's not quite as important because you're going to be in front of them over and over again.
Yeah.
With an email newsletter. But, you know, Lynn's, you know, who was the Magi, you know, what's her email newsletter going to be about? And how often would you bring it out? You know, to me, an email newsletter is really only effective if you're doing it at least twice a month.
Hmm.
Otherwise, people forget about you.
Mm-hmm.
So she may not have an email newsletter, but she could certainly do and implement a strategy of doing follow-up emails that are automated.
Mm-hmm.
So and maybe even doing some that are not automated that she does as a new book comes out, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But an automated series where you maintain some sort of contact with people and remind people about the joy they had in reading your book.
Right.
Like your young adult novel, you know, if you came back 3 weeks later and said, I hope you enjoyed it. If you want to tell your friends about it, here's a link where you can
type
in the names and email addresses of your friends and we will send an email to them.
Right.
With
That's
your email.
Good.
There's ways to implement that. And again, I don't know. Some shopping cart software would allow you to collect email addresses from friends
mm-hmm.
and then email something to them. Not all shopping cart software implements that particular function,
mm-hmm.
but there are other ways to do that.
Right, right.
And if nothing else, if you hand collect them, that's fine too.
Right.
But a friend recommending to another friend is an incredible way to start to create a viral sensation, a word-of-mouth sensation.
Yeah.
People are much more likely to buy a book from an email coming in when it comes from their friend recommending something.
Sure. Okay.
And certainly with both of your books, your book and Lynn's, since it's, you know, you're really, word-of-mouth is so important to what you're doing because with fiction, word of mouth probably sells about 80% all the books that are sold through as fiction.
Yeah.
And that means somebody told somebody else, this is a good read.
This
is an incredible book, or I really love the illustrations in this book in the case of Who Were the Magi.
Right.
Those kinds of things really do make a difference. And, you know, so for, I think that you need to maintain some sort of relationship with the people, and a good follow-up series of emails is a good way to do that.
Good idea. Thank you very much. I don't know if Lynn has any more questions.
So this is what I basically wanted to talk about tonight, and I wanted to give people some things. Because what I'm talking about is the beginning of what I'm going to be teaching in my 10 Million Eyeballs course.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I start off with telling you how to make relationships, and then I'll go in from there and talk about the four basic ways to get 10 million impressions.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm a firm believer in relationships as being the fundamental basis of all marketing, and that's why I created the Create Amazing Friends course.
Mm-hmm.
I haven't done enough to promote it, so I haven't sold that many of it, which is sad because I think it's a good program. And this will become part of it. This tape will become part of it for everybody that was involved in these Great Amazing Friends.
Very
good.
So
I'll be emailing a link to everybody for this.
Very good.
Because, again, relationship is so important. So I think we'll end at this point. I think it's a natural ending point. Unless, Lynn, you have any questions. She just emailed me and said it's been great. So I presume she doesn't have any more questions. Do you have any?
No, this has been very helpful. I really appreciate this.
Okay, great.
So thank you. I hope to implement a lot of this.
And so you will get an email telling you the link for this. Well, it's the same link that you
listened
to.
Okay.
But I will remind everybody that they can listen to it again.
Wonderful.
And I may offer an edited version of this as a preview to the 10 million eyeballs for other people.
Okay.
Because
excellent.
I think it's been a good session.
Very good.
Thank you for listening, and thank you for being involved.
Thank you so much. This has been wonderful.
If you have any other questions, you can email me.
All right.
Kramer@bookmarket.com.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks.
Take care.
Bye-bye.